Let's pray together. Jesus, we come before you now, and we're trusting that you'd speak to us, God. For people in the building, in the overflow, and online, we're trusting that you do something supernatural. God, if there is anything in the way, if there's something that's going to get in the way, if our hearts are hard, thank you that you can do a supernatural surgery and take our hard heart and make it a heart of flesh. So would you do that right now? Would you remove barriers and help us to receive your word in a fresh way, that it would produce a spiritual harvest in our lives? And for anyone who needs breakthrough, or anyone who needs to come back to you or open up their life for the first time to a relationship with you, I pray that you would do it this morning in Jesus' name. Everyone believed it, said amen. Awesome. You guys can take your seats. So good to have you in the house, online. Welcome to our church family on Facebook, YouTube, church online. To everyone in the overflow, I honor everyone in the building and the overflow, how you guys have done church in this season. We honor you. And I'm sure next week our restrictions will be totally different. So we're probably going to have more people in the building. And then we're just going to go from there. But I just want to honor you guys and encourage you guys to stay faithful in the season of getting into the house and putting God first. Remember, water baptism's the 19th. And of course, water baptism is the wedding ring of Christianity. It doesn't save you, but it declares you saved. It's a public declaration of an internal change. And water baptism is an adult decision. A baby dedication and the christening of children is a parent's decision to raise their child in God's ways. Baptism is an adult decision. It's actually a celebration if you were dedicated as a baby or blessed as a baby, that what your parents trusted for has come to pass. And now you are, and as an adult, are also serving God. And for some people, it would be teenagers, children, as they come to an understanding of salvation, what it is, they can get water baptized. So I encourage you to join us on that day. I got water baptized, and listen, I encourage you, it's so much warmer and safer. We only lost 2 people in baptisms. But they all, anyone who gets baptized, think about it, if you die in the font, you go straight to heaven. You know what I mean? It's not a bad place to go, you know? Only joking. Anyway, but when I got baptized this year, and you guys know, they broke the ice open, and then I went down, and there was the Titanic, and a polar bear swam past, and I saw the plank, and there was enough space for Leonardo on the plank. Anyway, just in case you guys know, but nowadays, it's the water's warm, you can bring soap, shampoo, you can pretty much have a bath over there. It's a jacuzzi, and we call it baptism. I don't know, maybe the guys who get water baptized in warm water, when you get to heaven, they like, didn't come. Like, you know, but and then for the guys who got baptized like me in ice, they actually just like to stand. So anyway, I reckon the guys who got water baptized in warm water, they sit in the overflow room in heaven, and then I got too many bad jokes this morning. Anyway, it's so good to have you guys with us. We started our brand new series, Change Your World, and my wife kicked it off and spoke about honor. I spoke about it in the evening, and I touched on how honor does change your life. Eli was a priest, and it was promised to him that him and his sons would serve God and the generations to come. It was a promise on Eli's life. And it says that Eli dishonored God and he ate of the choice meat. And of course, there were sacrifices made to God in that time. And Eli actually took of that sacrifice that was actually set aside for God, and him and his sons enjoyed it. And it says they dishonored God. Then God said, far be it from me that anyone more of Eli's family would actually serve like this in my house. And so dishonor changed his life. That actually cut off legacy. All these promises of God was cut off through dishonor. Then we see Ruth and how she lost her husband, and her mother-in-law also lost her husband, and how in that space she says to her mother-in-law that famous verse we'll say at weddings sometimes, you know, where you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God, your people will be my people. Far be it from me if your death will separate me from you. Where you buried, I'll be buried. And all of a sudden, Ruth, in an honoring place, changed her own life. Honor changes not only the people around you, because honor lifts them up and helps them to live in God's identity and calling, but honor actually changes your life. And that's why we're saying change your world. How? By honoring people around you, honoring God, and it'll change your world, and it'll change your world. You know what? You get what I'm saying? Today, I want to talk about how serving will change your world. And I believe it's so true. Serving will not only change your world, it will change your world. But serving first needs to become something that's a revelation to you in your world for it to change your world. And serving will change your marriage. It's going to change your workplace. It will change your children's lives. But serving will be a massive blessing. And we want to encourage you to change your world. I don't know if you've ever heard it, the first will be lost. Have you ever heard that statement? The first will be lost. Of course, it sounds amazing. We know it's biblical. At the moment, the only people who really believe it are Arsenal supporters, because right now, Arsenal are lost. Anyway, so, and that's the truth. Anyway, but the first will be lost is actually a biblical statement. And I have no doubt at some point in your life, and most of my life, you have a desire to be first, not last. Anyone agree? And so when you are last, you just go, the first will be last. We desire to be the head and not the tail. And God actually says that about us, that we are the head and not the tail. And we have this battle of what first really looks like and what greatness really looks like. Because I have no doubt everyone in this room, in the overflow and online, has a desire to be great, a desire to be first at some point. And even the disciples had this desire, and they would bicker. We even have some disciples in the Bible who went to say, like their mom went, Jesus, can my son sit at your right and left, you know, up in heaven? But everyone has this desire to be close to God, to be first, to be acknowledged, and to be looked upon as great. And then Jesus says this to his disciples in Mark 10:42. He says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great, become great among you, must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Of course, Jesus told them the greatest leaders are the greatest servants. And of course, he even said, including myself, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. Of course, for a lot of the disciples, they would have heard now that holding positions of authority, of government positions and religious authority was not actually the goal. Some of them might end up doing that, but that's not the goal. Jesus said the main goal is serving others. So all of a sudden, they would have flipped it on their head. In a world that was prideful, even the religious leaders of that day, they prided themselves in their reading of the word, going to the temple, giving. They even gave their tithe publicly. Look what I'm doing. And then they looked down on people who were struggling, who were sinners, and they actually said, we can't even connect with you. That's why they were offended. They said, look at Jesus. He hangs out with sinners. We're so much better than Jesus. But they came from a day of pride. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, no, it's not about that. It's not about position. It is about service. And of course, Jesus not only took this moment to teach it, he actually taught this later on. He actually taught it a few times. I think a famous time where he taught it, and you'll remember it, is just before he goes to the cross. And it's the Passover meal, and they're all in the home, and this was just before Jesus was going to the cross to show everyone how much he loved us and really served us with his greatest gift, which is salvation. Of course, they all get to the house, and if you know, in those days, people wore open shoes, sandals. They walked everywhere. If you were wealthy, you owned a donkey, and they would, of course, still get off the donkey, walk in the dust, but their feet were dirty. Their feet would have been the dirtiest part of their body, and anyone who was hosting a dinner party would actually start off the party by first washing the guest's feet. They wouldn't wash it, but they would get one of their servants to wash the feet. The servant who was the lowest in rank would get the job of washing feet because it was the worst job to do. So, of course, before they have supper, no one washes anyone's feet, and there would have been a tension in the room because everyone knew this practice. And you're the disciples who most probably would have gone, somebody needs to wash their feet. Somebody needs to wash Jesus' feet. And Peter said, I walked on water, bro. I don't do feet washing. John would have said, I'm the disciple Jesus loves. Listen, that guy even wrote that he was the disciple Jesus loved. You know what I mean? Like, he says, I don't wash feet. There would have been a tension in the room. Nobody was doing the washing of the feet. I reckon Jesus would have been there, and you can imagine how he felt. He'd been teaching these guys for 3 years what greatness looks like. That they actually came to serve, that Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And in that moment, we see John 3, John 13, 3-5, and then I'll jump to verse 15 and 17. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Of course, this was awkward. Peter even said, no, you don't do it to me. He says, unless I can wash your feet, you can't sort of be part of me. And in a way, Jesus is saying, you need to receive what I'm about to serve you, because I'm about to die on the cross for you and offer you the greatest gifts. You need to be open to everything I want to give you. And then he's like, wash my whole body. And then Jesus goes and say, I have set, in verse 15, I set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He's saying, you know, what I just did, again, like I told you, you've come to serve. The greatest are servants. We don't lord it over people. Again, I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. A lot of you guys will know I've been in this church since I was 17. I sat in the church for over a year and didn't give my life to God. I gave my life to God February of 1997, just before I turned 19, which was March, the 19th of March of 1997. I turned 19 and I gave my life to God. I started serving in the prayer team, and I started serving in the worship team after that. I remember in March already, I went in a youth camp and I served in the worship team, and I still didn't experience everything I desired to experience when it came to my relationship with Jesus. I was part of church, I was planted. I actually hadn't missed church since I was 17. I came every Sunday, and I even went to conferences, youth camps and conferences, and I worship, and I had amazing experiences with God, but I still felt something was missing. It was when I was 21, it was the end of the year, and I was sitting at the back there, and God said, you need to do more. And Paul Van Coller was then youth and young adult pastor, also said the same thing to me. And then the year before I turned 22, beginning of that year, in January, I did a year to serve. I would have been the first person to do the year to serve in the church. And we run that program now where you can give a year. And something totally changed in my life. This scripture rang true. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. All of a sudden, I started to serve, and even setting up the place, cleaning the place, running groups. I ran a view group for teenagers, I ran a view group for young adults, and serving, no strings attached. I all of a sudden started to hear God speak to me. God would speak to me about people in my group that he needed me to pray for, messages that I need to bring, because I also did ministry in schools, or just as I packed out the auditorium, things that I need to pray for the service that was to come. And all of a sudden, I started to live this life I've always wanted to live, a life where I actually was closer to God. Of course, even as you start to do what Jesus did, as you serve, it's like you're drawing closer to him. You're on his path, and as you draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. And all of a sudden, that scripture, you'll be blessed if you do them, became something that was true in my life. See, serving will bless other people, but it will bless you even more. Serving will change your life more than it changes the people's lives you serve. Because yes, we make a living by what we receive, as Winston Churchill said, but you make a life by what you give. He had that revelation somehow, but it's totally true. The Bible teaches that. And serving really is what living's all about. That's why it says better to give than to receive. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And it's like my life became bigger and bigger. Jesus revealed this way of living to disciples, and he unapologetically called people to a life of servanthood. That's why I need to be unapologetic, and you guys need to do the same thing. And if I don't call you to service, it's like I'm doing you a disservice, because my life totally changed in serving God. That's why as a church, we call you to Growth Track, because Growth Track, you discover your gifts, and the two great days, the day you're born and the day you discover why. But as soon as you start to serve, you'll start to live a life that I believe you've always dreamed of. And yes, you need to have a soft heart, a heart that wants to serve. When you serve others, there are many hidden benefits that you know nothing of. So when you start to serve with no strings attached, you experience this, but you only experience this when you start to serve with no strings attached. You know, when you talk to married couples or younger people, say, how will I know when I have met the one? And you'll say, you'll know when you know. And they're like, I can't believe you just gave me that bit of information that means nothing to me. Can't you give me more? And then the married couples go, yeah, they'll know when they know. Hey, and all the married couples, oh, totally. I also knew when I knew. And they're like, wow, thanks for this. But the downside is with that information, if you are frustrated about it, it's true. You'll know when you know. But when will you know? Well, when you meet them, yeah. So you'll only know when you know. Same with serving. You know the blessing that God speaks about when it comes to serving, that is of a huge benefit to you when you serve with no strings attached? You'll only know the benefits when you serve with no strings attached. Like, those benefits are accessible to you. They're there for you when you do it. So my only thing is, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to try. You're going to have to serve with no strings attached for that scripture to become a revelation to you. But outside of that, that's just you trying to live on the back of my revelation. And you could be frustrated, but, you know, that's what they say. And that's why James says, our Christianity that's just sort of repeated information of other people's revelation is like bringing a corpse to your world. But the revelation that comes to the back end of your living is bringing life to your world. And so I encourage you to practice this. Serving will serve you. The more you serve, I believe the more you'll want to serve. And that's what happened to me. And I've wanted to serve. I wanted to be found in the house. And serving should magnify Jesus. It should put a highlight on Jesus. It shouldn't put a highlight on your opinion. It shouldn't put a highlight on your style. I don't even think it should put a highlight on your calling. I don't think it should even put a highlight on your gift set. Serving should highlight Jesus. That's why when people don't serve unless it's in their zone, I'm going, is it really about Jesus? But I do believe you should be serving in your passions, in your gift set. I do believe that. But when you're in that space, it will magnify Jesus even more. People will put their eyes on Jesus. People will be saved. People will be drawn to Jesus. Serving should magnify Jesus. And servanthood is the hallmark of a believer. It's the key thing of what a Christian looks like because Jesus came to serve. I'm going to look at three Greek words that Jesus used when speaking about a servant in the Bible. And hopefully I will get these words right. The first word is dolios. Dolios, yes, that's correct. It's the word for bondservant. Now, if you know anything about a bondservant, is they normally got to that place because they were in debt. They had a debt, and the person they were indebted to came and said, you need to pay up. They said, I have no money. And by law, they'd become a bondservant. In those days, you could be a bondservant for up to 7 years, and then you'd be released again. And the scripture Jesus mentions this word is in Mark 9, verse 35. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last, the bondservant of all. So in the cultural context, they were bound to serve. They were indebted to this person and they were bound to the person. And that's how they served. But what was beautiful about this picture was many times bond servants at the end of their time of serving, they would be released and they would go and they would actually take it's called an awl, A-W-L, and they would pierce it in their ear, and that would be a statement to the owner, say, I don't have a debt to you anymore, but I loved working for you so much, I want to work for you the rest of my life. I want to serve you the rest of my life. And that's the kind of bondservant Jesus was speaking about. When I did a year to serve, the way my life changed and what I experienced, I, at that point, had that same experience and I wanted to serve God all my life. You and I need to have a sentence about our lives at the end of our life where people go, that person was always doing something. I don't know what you were always doing. Watching rugby, watching soccer, listening to the boxer playing. Jesus, let them win. Amen. And then build up momentum to beat the All Blacks. Amen. Maybe it's watching soccer. Jesus, bless Liverpool. They are your team. Amen. But I wanted at that point to go, I always want to serve God. By God's grace, I've been serving in this church now for 26 years. Most of my life, I'm 43, so more than half my life has been in this house serving. I would like to go to heaven one day, and when I go, people say, Andre was always serving in the house. Maybe God moves me from here, but that's His plan, His will, whatever He wants to do. I'd like to be here. I love this house. I love Cape Town, I love South Africa. But I'd like that. I don't know what you would want to have be said about your life. I don't know if there's anything greater to be said about our lives. We always serve Jesus. We always honor Jesus. But that's what a bond servant does. They are committed. There's no time limit. I believe bond servants, where they live doesn't determine how they serve. But how they serve determines where they live. Bond servants, their commitment to Jesus determines how they live, where they live, what they do with their time, their talent, and their treasure. But a lot of us, we go, if I have this time, if I have this talent, if I have this treasure, then I'll serve. No, no. I'm going to serve no matter what God has in the house, because it's all His. There's this accumulated interest that comes on a bond servant's life. See, when I experienced breakthrough, it's only by the grace of God, but I know it's accumulated interest. I've been tithing since I was 18. Every month I haven't missed. By His grace, not because I'm, but by His grace. I've been serving in this house every month. The mornings I wake up, I pray every day, 365 days a year, I pray. Go through a version of the Lord's Prayer, Jabez Prayer, put the armor of God on, pray for you guys, pray for my family, pray for my marriage. I don't live by chance. I don't believe there's a devil behind every bush, but I do believe there's a devil. That's why I bind him every morning and I loose the plans of God in my life. Accumulated interest. When my children experience victory, it's going to be from years of prayer. When my marriage goes to a new level, it's going to be from years of prayer, putting God first in my finances, years of serving. You know what I mean? It's a bond servant life. What are you believing for? What's the snowball effect? What's gaining so much momentum in your life that's becoming unstoppable? Is it serving God? Listen, here, I want to do these things. It's only by the grace of God that I get to do it. But this is my desire. This is what I want to do. I want to ask you, what do people say you will always be doing? You know, when's the best day to plant a tree? Sorry, 20 years ago. When's the second best day? Today. When was the best day to start to honor God, serving? Actually, years ago. When's the second best day? Today. What are you building? What kind of legacy are you leaving behind? Are you committed to our Father? And here's the other thing. Bond servants understand that you can only serve God by serving people. You can't say to me, I serve God. How? It's just me and Him, and it's this thing He's told me, and it's just... You can't love God without loving people. That's why Jesus said, you can't say you hate someone and say you love me. It's impossible. It's my creation. You can only serve God by serving people. It's never in isolation. And this is what we're bound to, we're committed to. I encourage you to find a place where you can serve. The next word is diakonos. And I apologize to any Greek people if I'm saying that wrong. But it's the word for deacon. It says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your deacon. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. That's how it would read. when you take the Greek original meaning of the Greek word. Of course, a deacon was a servant, and the whole picture of deacons, and the first time we see it in the Bible, is they actually helped serve the food. And people who serve understand that the church is all about food. You say, how? Well, you know when Peter, Jesus had this famous encounter with Peter, he says, Peter, Simon, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord. He says, feed my sheep. Second time, do you love me, Peter? He says, yeah, take care of my sheep. Third time, you love me? Peter's now frustrated. You've asked me this a lot. He said, feed my sheep. You see, we need you to be well nourished. We don't want you to be underfed. We want you to be building your life on the rock. So no matter what the storms come, and those who build their life on the rock, are they taking the word of God? They're applying it. We need to feed you. And servants understand that this should be the best feeding plan on the planet. Listen, if there was a competition for best burger, McDonald's wouldn't win it. But if there was a competition for best system to get burgers out quickly, McDonald's would probably win it. Yeah, you might know McDonald's who got yours out a bit slower, but they haven't done that bad around the planet. They've got a great system to get food out, and their food isn't even the best. You and I have got the best food on the planet. It's the word of God. Man doesn't live by food alone, but every word that comes from our Father. You and I, as servants, understand that it's all about the food. So when we have people in the car park, they stand there and go, I'm going to park people. Why? Because these people are coming to eat. And when you check people in, you serve there. Why? These people need to get in and they need to eat food. When you clean the toilets, you go, why am I cleaning the toilets? Because the people are going to eat and they might need the toilet while they're eating. And I don't want them to get the toilet and get distracted and then stop focusing on the food. So let's keep it clean and keep it simple. We got people checking kids in security. Why? Because I want parents to have peace of mind. So when they're sitting here, they're not worried about their kids. They're sitting down to eat. And then we got people serving kids, and they're also feeding our kids. But servants understand it's about feeding the people, getting the word of God out. And I want to encourage you guys, when you've lost track and got distracted and want to pull out of serving, you've most probably forgot that we are not supposed to stop the feeding of people. Please, as servants, let's wake up to the opportunity to feed people. The last Greek word is, and let me get this right, hyperetus. Again, don't know if I said it right. It's a Greek word for under rower. Can I have some keys up? It's the last Greek word I'll touch on. And it's Paul actually used it when he described his encounter with God. And he describes what God said to him. And it would go like this. Now get up. This is Acts 26 verse 26. Now get up and stand on your feet. This is God speaking to Paul after he had that encounter where he was blinded on the road to Damascus. And then he gets up and he says, I've appeared to you to appoint you as an under rower, a servant, as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. And Paul said, God called me to be an under rower. What's an under rower? An under rower is somebody that you would have seen in the Ben-Hur movie, if you ever watched that. But an under rower in the old days, they're at the bottom of the ship. A lot of these under rowers were chained to their oar. They had one job. Their job was to row. And they were the strongest servants. They rowed and rowed. And yes, the ship would come into the harbor and the captain would be standing at the ship and the people would see people on the top deck, but they wouldn't see the under rowers. They wouldn't see the men and women of momentum. And Paul said, I've been called to be a man of momentum. I bring momentum to the kingdom, and you might only see what's on the top deck, but I'm here to row a ship that's for Jesus. It magnifies Jesus. He's on the top deck and he's going to go into towns. I'm going to row him into towns. I'm going to row him into cities. I'm going to row him into Rome. I'm going to row him into Tableview. I'm going to row him into Melkbos. We're about to launch in Casper, October, but I'm going to be an under rower. I'm not going to be fazed about who sees me, but I am concerned, are they seeing Jesus? I'm not going to be fazed about who sees me, but my focus is glorifying Jesus. I'm going to create some momentum for the kingdom. Some people create momentum with resource. Some people create momentum with time. Some people create momentum with gifting. But under rowers understand the job in their life is to create momentum for the king, momentum for the kingdom. And Paul says, that's my job. I'm blown away because he was the famous of all of the apostles. But the thing is, when you commit to doing jobs that no one sees, God will elevate you. See, if you lift yourself up, God will bring you down. But if you bring yourself down, God will lift you up. Promotion is from the Lord. And we all know Paul, but his first commitment was to be an under-row. Not to be fixated on what's happening in the top deck, but to actually be focused on bringing a momentum to the kingdom. I encourage you, don't get into arguments. That's why we say it's what we're for, not what we're against. Listen, I'll be honest with you. People who are arguing about the vaccine online have just taken their eyes off sharing the gospel. I don't care if you get it or not, but for goodness sake, if you're really going to use your time to have an argument about the vaccine, you're just forgetting to be an under-rower. My job is not for what I'm against. My job is for what I'm for. What I'm for, Jesus. I'm for seeing people getting saved. I'm for seeing a kingdom come, the heaven come to earth. Like, why are you getting fixated? The enemy's laughing. He's like, if I can't get them, you know, I might not get them to sin, but I can get them distracted. You know what I mean? It's like, well, Andre, it's my right. Yo, we gave up our rights. We're under oaths. Get over it, bro. Like, you know, but what about me? See, the thing is, you know how Satan distracts us? He tells you got a freedom of speech. But then God said, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. So now I'm not allowed to have freedom of speech. Like, it's not about my freedom. Yes, it's not. We submit our tongues even to the Lord. Like let's get off these high horses and fighting for our rights and our. Who cares? One day we're going to get to heaven. Let's make sure we get as many people there as possible. Who cares if people notice us and we got our rights and I march down the street? You know what? You know what builds political parties? Anger. You know what builds the church? Love for people, where you take your eyes off yourself and focus on others. And you know what? You can join some Christian political party, but I'll tell you what, I can get in the meeting. You know what I'm sure you find in that meeting? Anger. You know what? They're overlooking us. And we are. I'm like, get out of here, bro. Let's go build the church. But there's no politician's going to save our planet. There's only one. It's the King of Kings. I want to row on his ship. Thank you. I want to be an under row for him. I want to build his kingdom. I want to lift his name up. I want people to see that there's only one name that's above every other name. It's Jesus. There's only one name that chains are broken. There's only one name that heals the planet. I want to be an under row for the King of Kings. I don't want to get distracted. Listen here, I want to be an under rower. I don't care. You can do your fight, but you're going to find me. Where's Andre? He's always rowing. Some of us are leaving our posts. Yeah, in the season, I've just realized that there's other things for me to fight for. Yeah, but you're being called to row. Don't leave your post. Don't leave your post. But if you're going to be a servant, you need to have a heart of a servant. See, the thing is, you can't, that's why I said it's about no strings attached. And it's not about just doing it, it's about being it. Let it overflow of who you are. And so quickly, what's the heart of a servant? A servant puts service over status. Who cares who remembers our name? Who cares? We know the King of Kings. We know that we're going to heaven one day. I don't want well done, good and faithful servant on earth. I want it in heaven. Like I always joke, some people want so many well done's on earth that they get to heaven, they'll just have, oh well. Because it says if you get all your well done's here, you won't get any in heaven. Who cares who says well done? Let's just get them in heaven. Let's row that boat. Let's be committed beyond our timeline, bond servants. Let's get into the feeding scheme. The main job is get the food out. Feed the 5,000. That's it. It's my job still. Get the food out. Don't do Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Number two, a servant puts character over comfort. Character over comfort. Your yes is your yes. Listen, if God moves me, I've already said to you, the first thing I want to do is find a place to serve and give. It's going to be the best thing I give to my girls. If God ever moves me, I need to find a place. I need it. But if God doesn't move me, by God's grace, if you're looking for me, I'm going to be here. Avia. Character over comfort. My yes is my yes. My commitment's my commitment. Yeah, but it's uncomfortable. No, that never gets in the way. This is a commitment to Jesus. You know, you might not see me pull back on my commitments, but Jesus will. Oh, no one will know I'm pulling back, but Jesus will. See, that's the thing. Jesus sees me in my room. He sees me as I walk down the street. He sees me in traffic. He sees me everywhere. Jesus knows. This commitment wasn't to Graham and Jenny. This was to Jesus. That's why Graham and Jenny have found it easy to work with me, because they didn't have to worry about my commitment to them, because it was first to Jesus, then to them. Of course, Jesus' example in this one is the Good Samaritan. See, the Good Samaritan, the Levite, the priest, walked past the wounded man. The Good Samaritan uses his donkey, uses his money to get him sorted. It was character over comfort. It was uncomfortable to take care of this wounded man, this beaten man. And then Jesus says, just like he did it for that guy, you go do the same. Character over comfort. That's the heart of a servant. Three, a servant puts we over me. I promise you, COVID has made you go, yeah, but how does it work for me? And Andre, the season, the economy, it just doesn't suit me anymore. And the schedule, it just doesn't suit me. And then, come on, let's face it. Some of us got vaccinated ages ago and we say, yeah, but I just don't feel safe to go to church anymore. Like everything's me. It's never been we anymore. It's not about the church. It's not about my commitment to other people. It's always about what's in it for me. COVID has drawn the line. Way more people are living for themselves than ever before on the planet. Servants go, I've made a commitment to Jesus and his body. I'm part of his body. Outside of his body, I have no purpose. Outside of his body, I have no formation. I don't know my identity. My identity is found in the body. I have a part in the body. I'm a hand or a foot you understand? But outside of the body, I'm actually nothing. But in the body, I've got a great purpose. And of course, all believers were together and had everything in common. Acts 2 verse 44. And then lastly, a servant puts worship over wealth. Of course, in Matthew 25, and I won't go read it all, it says when Jesus comes back, he will divide all the people, and the shepherds will come, and they'll put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And then he goes to the sheep on the right and said, and he says to them, you are blessed. Here's your inheritance. He says, for when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. Now the goats, he's like, I didn't know you. Which is quite crazy, hey, because for us in our generation, the goats, come on, greatest of all time. Come on, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's a goat. Let's face it. Dude's a goat. Tom Brady, that guy's a goat. Kelly Slater, goat. Greatest of all time. And we have this thing where we want to live greatest of all time. And Jesus said, oh, the greatest of all time status? I didn't know you. But you guys used what you had and you, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I needed clothes, you gave me clothes. And they're like, they all come, the sheep, Jesus. When did we do this? He says, you know when you did it for the least of them? You did it for me. And there we see, you can't serve God without serving people. You can't serve God without serving people. You can't serve in isolation. You can't say, well, it's my thing. It's just me and Jesus. No, it's not. I don't even know if Jesus is there. Because you can't serve God without serving people. I know I'm making a big statement. Jesus loves you. But I'm trying to make a point. He said, when you did it for the least of them, you did it for me. When you visited that person in prison, you were visiting me. When you fed that person who's hungry, you were feeding me. When you gave something to drink to the person that you feed, when you gave clothes to those who had no clothes, you were clothing me. Here's your inheritance. I encourage you guys. If you want to grow in your faith, then make a commitment to serve God. That's your next step. What would others say that you were always doing? You need to ask yourself, what seed are you going to plant today? The tree you're going to plant today? Be willing to do whatever needs doing without resisting, complaining, or giving a second thought. I encourage you, make whatever you choose to do an act of worship, an offering to God. Every day you wake up, this is for you, God. Give yourself without expecting anything in return, just like Jesus. No strings attached. It's the way, it's the best life. You know, Christians, we should be high output, low maintenance. The church should be high outreach, low maintenance, because we've already received everything we have need in Christ. God's given us everything we need for godly living, it says in the Bible. We should be low maintenance, high outreach, low maintenance, high output, low maintenance, high on serving. Easiest people on the planet to be around, because we've already received everything we need in Christ. But we've got everything to give. We don't need anything from you, but we've got everything for you. We want to serve you. Do you want to stand up in this room, overflow, outside? Even as I've asked you to step out and serve, maybe the first way you can serve Jesus by actually receiving the free gift of salvation, saying, I want to serve you. That's your first step. You're not in a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Our sin, no matter what sin, small or big, the payment for that sin is death. That's why Jesus says, I will die for your sins. I'll make the payment, and I want to offer you the free gift of eternal life. See, a lot of us are living, trying to pay a bill we can't pay, when Jesus is saying, I've already paid it. Maybe you've never accepted that payment. Maybe you need to today say, Jesus, today I want to turn to you and accept the free gift of salvation. I've been trying to live a life where I paid myself. I'll never be able to pay it, but today I need to receive the free gift of salvation. If you're in this room and you need to receive it with every eye closed, I want to pray for you. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. I want to lead you in that prayer. Maybe you've never prayed it, or you prayed it long ago and you've drifted away from God and you need to pray it again. If that's you, with every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to give me a wave on three. Outside in the overflow, we've got people there. Please also just lift up your hand. Those who acknowledge Christ before others, Jesus will acknowledge before our Father in heaven. Just give me a wave if you need to make that decision. One, God loves you so much. Two, three. If that's you, say, Andre, I need to pray that prayer. I need to come back to God. I've drifted. I need to receive the free gift of salvation. Just give me a wave if that's you. You know, you can't walk away from this place not knowing that you're settled, your eternity in heaven. That if something ever happened to you, you want to know that you're destined for heaven. Just give me a wave. You're saying, Andre, I want to settle that right now and receive Jesus as my Savior. Let's pray together. Jesus, I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the grave. Because of this confession and this belief, the Bible says that I'm saved, that I'm changed, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give Jesus praise. This place in the overflow, online. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Listen, tonight, Dieter Schroeder's preaching a different message, so you can jump online or come to the building. Remember, next week, restrictions will be different. We're going to get more people in the building. We're going to have loads of fun, and we're doing the third week of Change Your World. I encourage you, you can sign up at our prayer table. You can sign up to serve online, WhatsApp us, direct message us on social media. But I encourage you to sign up and take a next step and start to change your world. God bless you guys.